You're with Sounds Good on WKMS. I am Tracy Ross, and Kate Lochte's in the studio now. We're going to talk to Joe LaFleur of Better Bird Watching in Mineral Bluff, Georgia. He's doing a bird walking program at Kinlake State Resort Park on Sunday.
Mr. LaFleur?
Yes, how you doing?
Hi. Thank you for being with us today. And I must tell our listeners that you've been collecting video and sounds of birds for 20 years.
That's correct.
You've got a book out, Better Bird Watching, and a series of DVDs about birds of North America.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
So you're actually sort of bird walking across Kentucky starting on Sunday, aren't you?
Yes, but I'm doing a kind of a long weekend trip here coming up, heading west through Tennessee and then up into Kentucky and then back east through Kentucky.
It sounds delightful. We start out at Kinlake State Resort Park Sunday. Tell us what you'll be doing there.
Sure. We're going to be doing a bird walk and a program, and we're meeting at the hotel lobby at 9 o'clock. It's Sunday, October 7th, and the bird walk's going to be from 9 to 10 a.m., and then the program is from 10 to 10:30, and you can do one or the other or both. We're meeting at the hotel lobby there, and these are free events for people who want to learn more about birds. What I'm going to be doing for the walk is we'll hit some good birding spots there to look for some common birds, and timing should be good for fall migrants still moving through. Hopefully the fall colors will be nice as well. And then the program will run about a half hour, and it's going to focus on about 15 or 20 of the more local common birds you can see in the fall season. And for that program, I'm going to be using my DVD on Kentucky birds. Basically, what I've done is I've got a series of DVDs, and I've got one on Kentucky birds that focuses on 150 of the more common birds. And it has video and sound recordings, and so I'll be using that for the program to help people identify birds by sight and sound. And that's what we're doing at Kinlake.
You must have both a sophisticated ear and sophisticated equipment to produce DVDs about birds in the wild and get the audio. We have many expert bird watchers in our region, and I'm wondering if you'd share how you do that. How do you collect bird information like you have done so long?
Well, it's definitely a process, and I've been bird watching about 20 years, and I've been collecting video and sounds all that time. I have degrees in wildlife biology and communications, and with my communications master's is where I learned the video and sound production. But like bird watching is in general, it's a trial and error process. You got to put the time in out there looking for birds, and I've collected hundreds and hundreds of hours of video and sound recordings that I've edited down to all the different. I cover all the states and provinces now. I've got different DVD versions. And so basically for like the Kentucky one, I narrowed it down to the top 150 birds onto that disc. And that's a good way to help beginners get started. You know, people who are just getting started bird watching, there's so many different possible species out there. They're kind of nice, the state version ones, because they focus it down to the top 150 birds you're most likely to see. So I took hundreds of hours of stuff and edited it down to all the good stuff.
What equipment do you use?
Well, I've got a standard camcorder with microphone, and just use that when I go out. And, of course, the binoculars are always important to have just to find the birds in the first place. And I should mention when people are coming out to the program, don't forget your binoculars if you have them. It's something that's often easily overlooked, but when you're trying to identify birds, binoculars are very helpful. So if you have binoculars, bring them along. And then learning the sound, it just takes practice. You've got to listen to them over and over again. It's kind of like anything. You just get better at it with practice. And what I like to tell people, if you'd like the some of my favorite birds are the warblers, and in the fall migration, you can get a lot of nice, colorful warblers. They're not singing as much now. You get little call notes. They sing a lot more in the spring, but you've got to hear those songs over and over again. So like the yellow warbler, once you hear it a few hundred times, you start to, you don't even think about it. It just, you automatically know what it is, but you need to have that repetition, and then you kind of need to train your ear each year to relearn the songs, but the more you do it, the better you get at it.
I want to ask you a question, but I want to ask you this first question, and I'm so fixated on it. I have a friend who's a really good bird watcher, and he will say, "Did you hear the such and such bird?" And then he will mimic the bird in his own speech, making up syllable noises.
Mm-hmm.
Do you do that too?
That can definitely help with some species, and I encourage people to, if it helps you remember the song, just make up what it sounds like to you. But there are some, like the white-throated sparrows will be coming back soon, and then in the spring, they kind of winter more in this part of the country, but in the spring they'll start singing, and they sound like they say, "Poor Sam, Peabody, 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 Peabody." Or the chickadee sounds like it says its name. Sometimes it'll say chickadee, chickadee, dee, dee. So some are easy because the name, or the Bob White sounds like Bob, Bob White. So some of sometimes the bird name is a reflection of the sound. But sometimes you can make up words on your own, that whatever it takes to help you remember them. But then some songs are so complex that it's really not practical to try to make up words to them. And it helps to use like a musical. If you have a musical background, that can help you with learning sound. So you think of the quality of the sound. Is it musical? Is it buzzy? Are the notes slurred together? Are they separated? Are they staccato? Does it get louder, or does it get quiet? So you know, try to use musical terms to help you with learning the sounds too.
What, back to the original thing on my mind, I thank you for giving me a little sample of that. I always try to hear it, and my ear isn't always as good as yours is and my friend's is, who is a good birder.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what feathered friend is likely to be migrating right now that you might see on Sunday?
Well, that's a good question. I've got a list I put together for the programs I'm going to do, if I can find it here. But one of my favorite groups is the warblers. I try to cover all the birds, but I kind of have warbler bias because I've been doing it for a while. And they're a difficult group to see because they tend to stay hidden. They move around a lot. But when you do get a good look, their colors and their patterns are very artistic, and they're just a wonderful group. And in the spring, especially, their songs. And you might spend an hour looking and only get a few good looks, but it makes the whole hour worthwhile. So there are many different warblers that could be moving through. Some of the birds people might see at their feeders is the rose-breasted grosbeak, which I believe is just a migrant in the spring and the fall through your area there. And they'll come to feeders. They like sunflower seed or safflower seed. And the male has a blood red on the breast. The female's kind of brownish, and they have larger oversized beaks. And since they do come to feeders, that's one you might likely see visiting the feeders. And having a water out in your yard area. What's great about migration is it changes every day. You never know what's going to be moving through. Like, we had a rain event here. We had rain all day yesterday, and I went out this morning, and it was the best morning I've had this fall because the birds kind of got knocked down, and they stopped migrating, and when the rain stopped this morning, they were out feeding and everything. So you never know what's going to be showing up day to day, so having water out will help you attract birds, having moving water. So the warblers and the rose-breasted grosbeak off the top of my head are some. You might get some shorebirds moving through now, too, is another group. I've got a warbler at my moving water feature outside my window right now here, and I've had several different species here today, Black Burney and Tennessee warbler, black-throated green warbler. There's probably about 30 different species of warbler you could potentially see in the spring and fall migration.
Where do you look for them? I mean, where are they likely to be if they are not in the air? And not feeding. Say they're just, you know, you're out in the wild. Where do you actually look? What's a likely place?
The habitat is pretty key for the different species. You know, they're usually going to like something that's going to provide cover for them, like trees or shrubs. That's especially good for warblers. When I do the walks, I always like to try to pick places near water, like creeks or ponds or the water's edge. You know, birds need water for drinking and bathing, so you're always going to have good luck finding them near water. Edge habitat is very important, especially places like where you are in Kentucky. It's so heavily wooded that if you're walking through the dense woods, it's just hard to see very far, and there's a lot more places for the birds to hide. But oftentimes when I lead walks, it's funny. We often see some of the best birds right in the parking lot, because the parking lot creates an edge to the woodland where you can actually see the edges of the trees, and you just can, especially the warblers, are such small birds, you got to look for the movement, look for them hopping around. So anywhere you've got an opening, a field, and then you have some trees or shrubs forming an edge there, mm-hmm. you get the open area birds and the woodland birds. They like to hang out at edges. And that's true for all wildlife. Like deer like to hang out at the edges oftentimes too. So,
interesting. I see birds under massive honeysuckle overgrowth sometimes. They seem to like being up underneath stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
In the mornings, at least, where I live. I don't want to get off topic with what you're doing Sunday in our region, at least. Not only will you be at Ken Lake State Resort Park in the morning starting at 9, but then you'll be on the road up to Pennyroyal Forest State Resort Park near Dawson Springs from starting at 1. You're sort of reversing the programs. It's bird walk, then program at Ken Lake, and then program, then walk at Pennyroyal, right?
Correct. And the reason I reverse that is you tend to get the best bird activity in the mornings and the afternoons. For the program at Pennyroyal, I'm doing the program first. So then after the program, we're kind of getting more into those afternoon hours where the bird activity, maybe some birds that have been migrating all day are stopping to feed a little bit. So those are your best times for birding, early morning, late afternoon, early evening. Right around sunrise can often be the best time to get the best bird activity. And so, you know, Pennyroyal is not too far from Ken Lake, so we're hitting Ken Lake in the morning, and then 1 o'clock start time there at Pennyroyal.
Well, Mr. LaFleur, thank you very much for being with us today, and happy birding on Sunday. Once again, Joe LaFleur is leading a birding program Sunday starting at 9, and you'd like to meet at the lobby at Ken Lake State Resort Park.
Right, the hotel lobby, and then it looks like at Pennyroyal we're meeting at the Lodge Meeting Room.
Okay.
And I do have all the info on my website, which is betterbirdwatching.com, and if people want to look at the schedule and get any other info, they can go there as well.
Excellent. Have a great weekend.
Okay, thanks for talking with us.
Thank you, Kate Lochte. It sounds like a great time coming up. At Ken Lake State Resort Park, it's going to be Sunday, a bird walking program. That was Joe LaFleur of Better Bird Watching in Mineral Bluff, Georgia.